Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Sean Eastridge, and I've just moved to the wonderful state of Georgia, which explains why I've been slacking and there hasn't been a new Missing Frames episode in so long. I don't really have an excuse except that I'm lazy and I'm tired and I've got tons of stuff to unpack. So you know what? You can just shut up and deal with it. But before we're going to come back, and we're going to come back in full force, but I wanted to get just a little mini episode. So this is a between takes episode of Missing Frames. I'm about to go see the new Power Rangers movie for the first time. I know I'm super late, but I'm seeing it with my wonderful, lovely wife, Sarah, who has no experience with Power Rangers whatsoever.
This is my first Power Rangers movie.
Wow, that's got to be, you must be beyond excited to see this.
Very high expectations.
Yes, clearly. So I was a child of the 90s, so I feel like I have like a spiritual obligation to see this movie. I grew up with the Power Rangers. I loved it when I was a kid, and I still have enjoyment. I still get enjoyment out of watching the 90s show on Netflix. It's terrible. I mean, we're at the point where we're milking nostalgia for properties that are not even worth milking anymore. Like Power Rangers, you can see it in the posters and the figures. This was a franchise that was specifically developed to sell toys to children. So this is a franchise that's designed not for storytelling ventures, but for making money. Did you have any interest in Power Rangers when you were younger? I mean, I know you didn't watch it, but did you know what was going on when you were a kid?
Yeah, I had some interest, but my parents were very conservative growing up, and they just thought it was too violent for little Sarah, so I was not allowed to watch it. So I snuck a little here and there, but all I remember thinking is that they had really cool costumes and the villain seemed super goofy. And that was pretty much my
That's
experience.
Pretty much it. So, yeah, the colorful costumes were designed specifically to attract kids to buy them. Now, it was a Japanese show that basically Haim Saban, I think that's how you pronounce his name, he brought over to America. And to keep costs low, he basically hijacked the Japanese show. I can't remember the exact name of it, but he took the fighting footage of them in the suits and combined it with like American footage of American kids and actors, and it's terrible. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But that being said, I think there's a really cool concept here of like, and what they seem to be going for is a Breakfast Club meets superheroes and superpowers type deal. And that's what I'm excited about with this movie. I know the critical reception has not been great, but I still kind of want to see it. I feel like this is a movie I would really like to have written myself because I really like the concept of it, but I don't know how much I'm actually going to enjoy it. I don't think I'm going to hate it, but I don't think I'm going to like it that much. Do you think, as a person with no experience with Power Rangers, do you expect to enjoy this?
I hope I enjoy it. When I saw that Bryan Cranston was attached, I was super excited. I actually thought he was a villain, but now I think he's a good guy. I'm not really sure.
So you really don't know anything.
I really don't know anything. But I'm excited. I think the trailer looks so fun, and I hope it is fun. And it looks goofy, but in a good way. And I don't know. We'll see.
Right. We'll check it out and see. Yeah. But we will be back on the other side of things to let you know what we thought. So stay tuned, everybody.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Okay, and we're back. We just saw Power Rangers. Sarah, what did you think? As somebody who's never seen anything to do with Power Rangers before, did this meet your expectations? Is this exactly what you thought Power Rangers should be?
Well, Bryan Cranston's the good guy, so I got that cleared up for me. I don't know. It was interesting. It was pretty goofy. So I guess you know, I thought it would be goofy. So yeah. it fulfilled that expectation.
It was weird because it was goofy, but it also tried to be really serious, and it would throw in like a random joke about like Krispy Kreme donut, like everyone, like it's like Krispy Kreme is where the ultimate power is being held that the bad guy's trying to get, and everyone keeps making Krispy Kreme jokes, and it's this, and but then half the time the movie's trying to take itself very seriously.
Wait, I thought Krispy Kreme was an homage to the 90s show, is it not?
No.
Then why did they spend so much time on it?
Because it's they got paid for it.
Okay, I was completely convinced. I was completely convinced Krispy Kreme had something to do with the 90s show.
Not at all. It was very, it very clearly had something to do with payment. I don't know how much they paid to be in this movie. It was clearly a lot. But, yeah, that was one of the most, it was not bad, but it was super weird, and like it did not know if it was supposed to be an updating of the TV show, if it was supposed to be fun and goofy, or like serious and down to earth. And like the beginning of the movie, it's pretty grounded, and it's like everyone is kind of upset and sad and angry, and Jason, the Red Ranger's dad, is like, "You're such a screw up and you'll never be anything," and it's like, okay, here we go. And then everyone meets in detention, so it's very Breakfast Club-y mm-hmm. there. But once they find the cave with the power coins and everything, the movie kind of forgets about, like, oh, it's teenagers growing up and bonding, and now it's about superpowers and special effects. And it never really, like, it's like, it like jumps from like intimate scene where someone's talking to somebody about something personal to training montage to like Zordon's talking about the past and Rita and how evil she is. And the movie never really, like, it's like somebody took the footage and threw it into like a wood chipper, and whatever spat out was the final product of the film, because the editing was like insane.
Yeah, it felt very disjointed. There was a good hour in the middle of the movie. The middle hour, I was bored. I was kind of like, all right, can it's we like get to the fighting? Can you put on the suits? Can I see Power Rangers?
It's like the beginning was like, okay, I'm interested in learning who these people are. And then you never really learn. The characters aren't really that well drawn. They're kind of just like, there's Jason, the ex-football player. Billy's the nerdy one. There's Trini, who is just weird and might be a lesbian.
Might be.
And Kimberly was once a popular girl, and Zach's just, he's cool and wacky. But like none of them, except for RJ Seiler, who plays Billy, who is just, I don't know if you've seen, I know you have, Sarah, but I don't know if the audience has seen Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, but it's a really good movie, and RJ Seiler, that was his first movie, and he's fantastic in it, and he's also really, really good in Power Rangers. He's the only one who feels like he brought something to the table. Everyone else is kind of just like, not bad, but bland, maybe?
Yeah, he was my favorite character by far.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was taking it seriously. You know, in the sense it's like he was like, he brought everything to the table. He was very funny. He delivered his lines. Yeah. He was just good.
And felt emotion for him. And this is this is spoilers, all like full spoilers ahead. But, you know, when he dies, quote unquote, you feel something.
Yeah, and it's, I felt,
you
sad
know, it was sad. But again, it was a very emotional moment, and you know, they bring him back to life, of course, but like that was the most emotional the movie got, and everyone is like giving it their all. But then I was like, man, just like 5 minutes ago, this was like zany, weird, and now it's like deadly serious. Somebody has died. It kind of bummed me out. I really wish that, I mean, the actors, it's not that they were bad, it's just like none of them were particularly great, and the writing wasn't there for any of them.
Yeah, I did enjoy Rita. Is it Rita? Repulsa?
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, I thought she was fun.
She was ridiculous.
She was I don't know if
she was, I think maybe the only one who had watched the Power Rangers.
Yeah,
she knew what was going on.
I felt like she was channeling that character, though I've never seen it, but she was so outlandish and nuts and zany and just energetic that I was like, okay, she's nailing whatever she's trying to do.
Right.
But so she was really fun. I enjoyed her a lot.
And, you know, I liked, I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Dacre Montgomery? Is that the cat is jumping into boxes. But Dacre Montgomery, who plays Jason. I liked him. He kind of had that sort of like personality-less leading man thing going for him.
Yeah.
And he was good. There's some scenes that required some emotional lifting where he didn't, nobody crashed and burned, but like, man, I was so disappointed because I really, really wanted them to commit to the whole Breakfast Club meets
right.
superpower. You know, I wanted it to be like a coming of age teenage story where it's like you really feel for these characters, you really like them, you want them to succeed. They're kind of all misfits and outcasts, so you really want it. Kind of like with Peter Parker and Spider-Man, when he gets his powers and he starts like getting the girl and beating the bully, you really cheer for him. I was hoping this movie would go a little bit more in that direction, but this movie suffers from like having no clue what direction it wants to go in. Did you with the movie? So this movie, like I said, it's like it's weird teen drama, weird sci-fi, kind of Chronicle inspired movie, and then it devolves into like an hour-long training, we're sad, we need to learn to work together montages, and then it turns into a Power Rangers, an updated Power Rangers episode with a budget. Which one of those movies did you think worked best?
I liked the end. I liked
with the ridiculous fighting and stuff.
I mean, just because that's what I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know, and I also was waiting for Kim and Jason to blossom their romance.
Yeah, there was a shot
in the trailer.
Yeah, there was.
So the whole movie, I'm like, where did it go? Not that, I mean, it's whatever, but
I'm kind of glad they didn't, but like, it is kind of like, okay,
well,
there's something going on.
They have five movies.
Yeah, apparently there are going
to
be five or six more of these. And they tease the crap out of it with like, oh, is the Green Ranger Tommy? Is he going to be there?
Right.
But the thing is, it's like, where do you go? I didn't dislike this movie. I didn't really like it. But, like, the whole time I was like, man, this movie is teetering on the edge of something that could have been really special.
Yeah.
And that's the most disappointing thing. When you see a movie that you don't necessarily have expectations for, but when you see the potential in a movie, and I think this really, even though the source material is complete garbage and, like, you know, it's ridiculous and it's stupid, there's potential there for an idea like this, and I'm really bummed that they show hints of it where they're kind of going towards it, but they never quite make it. And I wonder, you know, the guy who directed it, Dean Israelite, he did Project Almanac, which was like
I haven't even heard of that.
I think it was like a Chronicle knockoff, like a found footage movie that never quite went over the bar to be good. It's interesting that they gave him this movie to do. I guess they were like, well, he kind of made Chronicle, so maybe he can just do that again. I am kind of bummed. As a fan, as someone who grew up with Power Rangers, I kind of wish there was a bit more emotional heft to it and that I had been more invested in it. But, you know,
I agree.
We'll see. There's a lot of hints about more to come. And, man. Too many franchises.
I think it would have been better off just as a TV show. Just update the TV show. Give us 12 episodes and give us more arc.
Yeah.
You know?
Take some time. Give it to somebody who
Let
could,
it burn
like,
a little and then, you know. But
give it to a good storyteller. Like, somebody who could... Like, man, I know this is stupid and it's almost like the go-to for, like, a fanboy, like a comic fanboy. But imagine what Joss Whedon could have done with something like Power Rangers.
Yes.
Like, how cool would that have been?
Yeah.
That's what was missing. Just
he
kind
could
of
give them
the
some
wit,
heart.
The wit, the humor, the heart that Joss Whedon brings to a lot of his projects. Not all of them, but that's kind of what he's known for. It would have been nice to have a creative mind like that who could have taken something like this and molded it into something more special. But, all right, well, I guess that's it. So, Sarah, on a scale of 1 to 5 Krispy Kreme donuts, how many Krispy Kremes do you give it?
I'll give it 2.5 Krispy Kreme donuts.
All right, yeah, I'll do the same. It was inoffensive. Like, I think the Rotten Tomatoes score is about right. 48% seems...
That seems right.
Right, but it's not... I definitely didn't hate it. It wasn't terrible. It was just disappointing that
still
they,
go see it.
Yeah,
if you're
a fan of Power Rangers, you probably should see it. But, you know, don't expect anything special. But anyway, thanks for tuning in to this mini episode of Missing Frames Between the Takes. Sarah, thank you so much for participating.
You're welcome.
And we will see you on the flip side. Take care.